Yourself?
Good. Good. Good, good, Tim. I saw Ben's there, but not there.
Yeah, I saw him right when I come on. I saw him. He had to step away, apparently. So,
okay.
No, horse hat today, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going. Actually, I'm going fishing tomorrow.
Oh.
Way out in the Gulf.
So, are you down in?
I'm still in Florida.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You stay down there full time now?
No, we'll be, my daughter's coming down and spending a week or two, and then we'll head back to Nashville and then to the mountains for, a week or so, and then back to Nashville. Then we'll come back here in October.
So. All right. Very nice.
Yeah. You know. I live the COVID-19 life all the time.
Yeah.
you know, I'm always moving my office to wherever I am, and I'm always home. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, you gotta like that power of technology.
Yeah, it's changed the world. Yeah, I think it's gonna have a really big impact. I mean, it already has. I heard another company say last night, one of those emerging, you know, CNBC has the Disruptors 50, and they had one of the disruptor companies, and they said, what would have taken us 4 years to do, we've done in 3 months.
Yeah.
The amount of
when you're forced to do it, you have to figure it out.
Yeah, they, you know, it's like Zoom, you know, Zoom would have taken 4 or 5 years to get to where they are. And, you know, all of a sudden they go there in 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
So this whole communications technology will never, ever go back to where it was. It'll always be, everybody will always say, hey, I wonder if we could Zoom that instead of having that meeting, you know? So
yeah.
Anyway, well, there's a lot going on. I wish I had more feedback on our little project. You did a nice job on the presentation, by the way. I thought that was very effective.
Thank you.
And I think that my boys probably learned where you fit in a little better with what we're trying to do, because I'm not sure that they've ever heard that presentation before. You know, I've seen it in meetings and other things, but I'm glad I was on. It was good.
Good.
So we've got that project plus the other project with, down in Charlotte to talk about. You know, this was originally a training session. I'm not sure it's a training session anymore. It's more of a marketing session. And,
hey.
You know, hi, Mary.
Morning, Ma. Mary.
Hey, sorry. Technologically inept.
Can you, why don't you bring us up to date on what's going on in your world, Mary? Start there.
That's a good question. I think from the perspective of coaching and things like that, we've got that stuff with Ebony that's happening. So I think that's starting to gel a little bit. And we have, I think, a call next Monday or sometime next week so we can get them sort of kickstarted. Beyond that, we're seeing, or I'm seeing, sort of a re-engagement with some of the centers of influence who have an interest in helping their people get through at least some kind of par or view into window into their practice. So that's sort of different than it has been in the past. It was sort of a standstill for a long time. And then otherwise, you know, we've been focused on trying to get our people to go back through the par process that they were engaged in previously to sort of get them kickstarted again. So that's really kind of it here. I mean, for it being summer, I will say that we're a little bit more active than we have been normally. I don't know, Ben or Tim, what you guys think about your activity level with RVPs, but I've kind of seen an uptick lately in their interest in improving their practice, which is nice.
Yeah, it's kind of the inverse of most years where we come in through the spring and it's real active and then summer breaks down. Nobody had anything to do for 3 months, so now they're all firing back up. So, yeah, in the last 2 to 3 weeks, we've seen a huge ramp up in the amount of COIs and then just individual advisors who want to engage on this kind of stuff, which is awesome, which makes me feel really good about sales in Q3 and Q4, a little less so about the next month or two. But right, we're refilling that pipeline. Cause honestly, our pipeline went to about zero in the end of March, early April, where we had maybe one or two teams across the entire division who maintained their coaching. They shut it down and say, call me back at the end of this thing. So, activities ramping back up. So it's good. Just gotta, you know, execute now.
Well, at least you didn't have a negative sales day yesterday.
Did you have a negative day?
I've had those.
Yeah, something. But the thing I'd add too is it's nice to see with people that haven't been here that long that they are engaging in the PAR process, and it's not just experienced people. It's some of the youngsters that are also bringing in PARs today that will help set them up for later in the summer and the fall as well.
That's good.
Interesting.
And then it's interim review time too. So we're all writing interim reviews and we're mired in administrative stuff. So there's that fun side of management.
You know what? One thing I wanted to throw in about our call the other day is just communicating a little bit with Rick is one of the things he's going to have us do is he's going to talk to his advisor and have us do a PAR, it sounds like, for his advisor's business. So he really liked what he did. He liked the presentation. You know, as he always said, his people probably have seen it more so than he's seen it. So he said he took a lot out of it. So I thought it was great that he wants us to try it with his advisor, and we'll kind of build off of that.
So where's that project? The problem with introducing an idea to Rick or to Tim is who's leading it now and what's the next step?
Well, with Rick, I mean, that was it. We only had the call 2 days ago. So I had reached out to him just to see where it was and what his thoughts were. And they really liked it. I think part of it from their standpoint is they're trying to figure it out on their end. As he said, not only, you know, how do we incorporate PAR, but how to incorporate the whole Supernova site as well. So he's kind of thinking that through was the feedback I got from him. But as a starting point, I thought it was great if we could get his advisor's PAR and kind of continue that process to show them what we can ultimately do.
Yeah. Good. With me, it's frustrating, because I could run the whole thing. I could give them a great project here that would be successful. And I'm like, okay, do you guys get it? Do you think this thing is a really good idea? You know, you can be very successful in your endeavor. So I guess I'll follow up with Rick he's the guy. He's got to make the decision to go forward or not and how many FAs, and he's got the list of the, I think it's 48 teams that we put through the program. And
there was more than that on that list, though. Oh, you mean like with Tim Burns?
Yeah.
There were more, yeah.
A lot of teams on that list, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's 200 names, and I think a total of 48 teams. I don't know, something like that.
So, Rob, I had a question on that list where there was like 200 names on it.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever go across the Mississippi into the West?
No.
It didn't look like this.
That's Nova Super over there. It's a different company, Tim. You got to talk to
him. No. No, Curtis Brown lives in San Francisco.
Oh, he does? Okay.
Does he?
Yeah. So he coaches some teams out there, but I don't think they've been Morgan Stanley teams. And we of course, if you looked at the UBS list, it would be more like 2,000 names.
Mm-hmm.
Or 3,000 names. So it's and what we're looking for now is, and Mary, were you doing that? You had an intern or something looking at?
Yeah, so, yep. So the intern is on the UBS list. He's almost finished. In the interim, we upgraded our sales page, our like Salesforce software. And so as soon as he started doing that, the next day they shut the whole thing down. And it's been back up for, 2 days? But it hasn't worked right for 2 straight days. So he should be finished with that by the end of the week, hopefully. So.
Okay, good.
And he cross-referenced every person on that list with BrokerCheck and then what we had in our internal system. So there were like 1,500 names. So
wow,
keeping them busy.
Poor son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Too bad. Welcome to the intern job.
Right.
Well, that will be interesting because those people, that's a completely, that's a very broad group that we coached, and they would have been coached as much as 10 years ago. So they'd be very anxious for an update. So that would be, could be a really interesting list. Hopefully that comes through. So, all right.
What I kind of understood, I'm sorry. What I kind of understood from Rick was that he seemed committed to, he doesn't really know, I think, long-term what's going to be the most effective. And I think that's where his issue is. He's very concerned about success, but he's afraid to commit to, I think, one process. And so what I heard you say and what I felt from him was he was interested in starting two things sort of concurrently, his own method of how he planned to approach it, but then to re-engage with those three subsets of Supernova. So I felt like he was committed to that, and maybe I read him wrong. But
no, he seemed really committed, but then it was like, okay, I've got to drive, from someplace to someplace, and Tim had to drive from someplace to someplace, and so I was trying to pin down next appointment, right? And I didn't get it. So I was like,
I think he's in a way, maybe he's a little overwhelmed as he's trying to figure this out. And he's had, Supernova. He's had Touchstone talk to him. I don't know who else has talked to him, any of the other firms that do something like we do. So I think in his own mind, he's trying to sort all of this out and just trying to figure out what road he's going to drive down.
Okay. Well, if you have any suggestions, I'm happy to, I'll just fire a call into him and see, cause I'd really like him to engage with Tim. And then I'd like Tim to engage with, some of the managers that Tim has worked with in the past that are Supernova advocates. Cause then Rick doesn't have, Rick, if Rick does it the way I'm telling him to do it, he doesn't have anything to do.
Right.
Literally. All he has to do is check on Tim. And Tim's running the whole thing. And Tim would love to do it because, I think he would. If Tim were Rob, he'd love to do it. Because it gives you a chance for leadership on a national level. And it gives you a chance to get you all the guys that you've ever trained fired up again and make a difference in their lives. And it's not that hard. This is not a big, this is a pretty much a, everybody else does the work. Even with Tim, he doesn't have to do much work because all you're really doing is putting together some training programs like we do, right? We'd do all of the PARs again for all these guys, right? Quick PARs. And then we just go right back through in group sessions, segmentation, organization, acquisition, and then that simultaneously they could have some brainstorming sessions in mastermind groups. Okay? Because that's really what they want. They want that mastermind group brainstorm session. So we create these teams that would be brainstorming at the same time they'd be getting training from you guys and from us. And I think it's very effective, and it doesn't have to be, you know, three meetings a week. We could, you know, we can spread it out over some time. But the point is that we track them. That's the key, is that we'd track them. We'd start them, and then we'd get it going. You know, we'd track how they're doing. And they're, when you track them, they're just going to perform better. They're going to be more anxious to, because nobody's, I mean, Tim tracks his people, but nobody else does.
So, you know, who is Tim?
Tim Burns. He's a really interesting guy. He's a supernova advocate that has been in Illinois, Ohio, Florida. He was a regional director in Florida. And now he's in Pennsylvania running the Pennsylvania complex. So in each of the markets, he's hired us to train his FAs. So not all of them, but a lot of them. And so in Florida, when he was a regional guy, he had all the offices, you know, doing some supernova. And then there were some guys, some managers that really took off with it. And those are the guys that we'd use for our subsets to do the monitoring. So Tim's a terrific guy. Now, he hasn't been a big PAR advocate, or I don't think he's been a big supporter of you guys yet, but there's no reason he wouldn't if he saw what you do.
Well, I think Ben's engaged with him, right?
Tim Burns?
Yeah.
Not so much. You tried.
I don't think so.
I gave you a list of the FAs that we were coaching, and you were
going to. Oh, yeah. We did try. We didn't get very far with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I knew him back when he was the regional in Atlanta and was not super helpful with PAR or.
Yeah. That, I chased him down for a while. No, he was not super helpful.
I think we did a call with him. You and I did.
May have. That was, I mean, it was a while back, but. Yeah. I'm not going to pin my hopes on him coming through by any stretch. Yeah.
Well, you know, people, once they see the big picture, sometimes they get on board. So, anyway.
The other thing I thought they were struggling with was identifying who their high growth potential teams or individuals were as well, because they were only starting, what I heard Rick say was originally they were only starting geographically. Yeah. And so they were just going to lump, which I don't understand.
When he explained his plan to me, I said, no chance. Okay. I mean, chance, yeah, you can, but no visibility, no leverage, no, I mean, you're gonna, yay, so you win. You train six guys in a small market in X city. Who cares? Right?
Right.
It moves the needle not, and you prove that it works again. They beta tested it, quote, and it works. Great. Well, course training works when you put, you know, six guys on it and you focus on people, they're going to perform. I don't give a crap what they're teaching them. And so, you guys see it, right?
But the geographic focus confused me, especially now. Like,
you got to get
when they had to be there.
Right. Like, well, his plan is to go in and teach technology. Okay. They have technology that drives production, right? If you unearth opportunities, people will follow up and will do business with people. So it's really the 24-month calendar, you know, jammed into emails sent out daily. So, you know, they'll send out an email every day saying, okay, today we've discovered that you have opportunities in long-term care. So call on long-term care.
Yeah.
Today.
But if you don't have the time to do that,
everybody,
no matter how great your technology is,
everybody ignores emails and they don't batch process them. Mm-hmm. So that you can do, you know, they gotta combine it with Supernova so that you put it on the agenda and you call everybody regarding that subject for that month or that 2 months. You can't do it in, and he wants the whole project done in 3 months. You know, that's his timeline. I got to show results in 3 months. You know, McCarthy's setting them up for failure, as far as I'm concerned. It's just a joke because McCarthy's obsessed about this technology that he's created and put tens of millions of dollars into that he has to prove that it works. Okay. Well, we can do that, but do it in a conjunction with an overall bigger strategy that can move the needle overall for long term, right? We can create a project that we can do for lots of people at different levels. That's why I did three different projects. One was the existing Supernova trained people. You give them a good idea, they can run it through their 12-4-2 model and be very successful with it. And there's so much new with Supernova, they just, you can raise their productivity like that. Boom. Then we were going to work with the people that we're training now, right? They're already up. They got the training brain on. They're willing to accept ideas. You just drop in new ideas and technology into that and we'll coordinate with us and we'll help train those people on that technology. And he can do Zoom calls with his people and whatever, just fit it right in. And then new people, you know, he identifies high producing teams that want to do this. And so he just trains them on the technology and the ideas and whatever. And they just incorporate it into their just regular business plan. But I've got teams that are using the technology now and like it. And it fits in beautifully with our monthly focus, you know?
Yeah. It gives them something to call
right.
on that's relevant or but why couldn't, instead of him measuring acquisition and growth and net acquired assets as the first measurement 3 months in, why couldn't he just measure how much they're filling those buckets, right? Why couldn't he measure adoption rates? Because doesn't activity, you know, come before results? So why wouldn't that be the measurement?
Only bottom line, Mary, you know that.
Right.
It's a very, I just don't think it's, we're not talking about a training person at the top. We're talking about a concrete thinker with very, very concrete, black and white, meet the goal or don't, revenues or no revenues. You know, they call it modern development, right? Modern engagement and development or something instead of sales. Well, they're still in national sales, trust me.
Right.
Modern engagement is, it's just a tool to get to sales. You know, they're not really interested in training. I mean, the training gets to the sales, and if the training doesn't get to the sales, they'll drop the training. Okay. So,
right.
I mean, you've seen it. You have Salesforce, right? But nobody knows how to use it. So they get pissed off when they don't use it. So you got to train them on use of Salesforce. Well, you got to train them on the use of this technology. And that's the issue. So, instead of training people on how to use the technology, they're turning it into a, you know, a big project that with no leverage. So I said, you're going to end up with a, being a technology specialist relegated to some back corner of training. If you do this project the way it's set up, right? I mean, that's what he's going to be, a technology trainer. Well, technology trainers do not get paid very much. Okay. So I'm
trying. And they have that position.
Right. I'm trying to save his career here because he's the way it's set up, he's going to die. Okay. Now, we've all seen it, right? There were 60 trainers at UBS at one time. There are zero now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you either get it or you don't. And if he gets it, I think he got it right away. But I think, you know, when we're trying to coordinate this whole thing, he may be a little overwhelmed, as you said, Ben. And I'll check in on him. I mean, look, it's an opportunity for all of us, and I'd love to see it happen. If not, we'll just do our Charlotte thing and do our thing, you know, and it'll be fine.
Well, and Francesca's in Charlotte, one of his coaches. And so we have invited her to participate. So I think if nothing else, even if he doesn't commit, she'll get to see and be a part of what that looks like and the outcome. And so that's got to be beneficial.
Right.
And she's a friend of ours. She's been very supportive of Parth.
And by the way, guys, I don't know that my, you know, Sunday afternoon back of the envelope business plan was the end all and be all. All I did was write out what I would do based on the information I had. If you guys say, hey, you know, I think this would be a much better plan, or I'd do this instead of this, please speak up, because I don't think, you know, this isn't done. It's just trying to brainstorm what would be an effective way to leverage this idea of combining technology training with receptive people to raise their productivity. I mean, it's a goal that we've all had. You know, technology has always been a tough thing to spend money on and get anything out of. But I think people mm-hmm. actually do like it, from what I gather, and they're willing to do it. So I think combining it with what we do and what you guys do would be super, you know. So
what I would suggest is on the 24-month calendar to leave a spot to allow the NDA for that client or that advisor at the time to feed into it. And so you've got a menu of things that the advisor is going to work on. And then they've got this additional option that they'll have to fulfill. It's electronic. It's typically high touch, low involvement. So the CSA could do that too. But I think if you could feed those together, that would be helpful for them. Like, here's how we're implementing your tool.
So put it right into the 24-month calendar?
Yeah.
Yeah, look, yeah, terrific. But then it's, once they know how to use it and effectively use it, it's great. You know, but I don't want to, you know, you don't want to overwhelm FAs either. So you got to kind of mm-hmm. coordinate the knowledge of it with practical use of it. So practically speaking, for our entire complex this month, we're going to be doing liability management. Well, that's great. You know, that fits in. Going to do a lot of lines of credit. We're going to do, you know, all kinds of stuff, right? Securitized loans, do mortgages, et cetera. And that fits in. I don't think they care what the product is. I just think that they are trying to get FAs to penetrate their book more. All right, guys. I gotta be on time today, so I gotta go.
Seems like a rough day. You look like you might not be going to play golf.
No, I'm not. I wish I were. Tomorrow I go fishing and the next day I play golf. So,
oh, tough. Man.
Tough.
Yeah.
It is. All right. All right. Well, all I'll right. talk to you next week if nothing okay. else. All right. Okay. Thanks.
See everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.